Chapter 30. I don't like it, Solon said. Regnus Gyre stared into the winds that blew his silver hair almost straight back. The twins were quiet today, so there was only the sound of the wind rushing over the wall. He listened to the wind as if it were trying to tell him something. After 10 years, a summons, Solon said. Why would the king do such a thing on the eve of your son's majority? What's the best reason to gather all your enemies in one place? Regnus asked, barely raising his voice enough to be heard over the wind. It was still cold, even in late spring. Screaming Winds was never warm. The north wind cut through wool, made a mock of the beards and long hair the men grew to hold some extra iota of heat in. To smash them, Solon said. Better to smash them before they can gather, Regnus said. The king knows that I'll do everything in my power to be home for my son's ascendance. That means traveling fast. That means a small escort. Clever of him not to command a small escort, Solon said. I'd have put such subtlety beyond him. He's had 10 years to think about this, my friend, and the help of his weasel. His weasel was Fergan Safasti, a magus who was not exactly Shosendi's finest moralist. Fergand also knew Solon by sight, and would gladly tell the world Solon was a magus if he thought it would cause mischief. Fergand was why Solon had been staying with Regnus year-round, as Logan took more responsibilities at court. It was, he was beginning to think, a serious mistake. So, you think they'll attack us on the way? Solon asked. Regnus nodded into the wind. I don't suppose I'll be able to convince you not to go? Solon asked. Regnus smiled, and Solon couldn't help but love the man. For all that it had crippled his house and destroyed any ambitions Regnus might have had for the throne, taking command of Screaming Winds had given Regnus life. There was fire in Regnus Gyre, something fierce and proud like a warrior king of old. His command had clear authority, and the power of his presence made him father, king, and brother to his men. In the simple fight against evil, he excelled, even reveled. The Highlanders of Calador, some of whom had never bowed the knee to any man, were warriors. They lived for war, thought it a disgrace to die in bed, believed the only immortality was immortality through deeds of arms sung by their minstrels. They called Regnus the Rurstock Slagen, the Devil of the Walls, and in the last 10 years their young men had smashed themselves against those walls, tried to climb them, tried to sneak past them, tried to bribe their way through them, climbed over the twins, and tried to descend on Screaming Winds from behind. Every time, Regnus had crushed them. Frequently, he did it without losing a man. Screaming Winds was made of 3 walls at the 3 narrowest points in the only pass between Cenaria and Calador. Between the walls were killing fields sown thick by Regnus's engineers with caltrops, pits, snares, and deadfalls of rock from the surrounding mountains. Twice, clans had made it past the first wall. The traps had reaped such a harvest of death that none had survived to tell what they found beyond it. It could be genuine, I suppose, Solon said. Logan says he has become close friends with the prince. Maybe this is the prince's influence at work. I don't think much of that prince, Regnus said. But he thinks a lot of Logan. We can hope that the prince takes after his mother. This may even be her work. Regnus said nothing. He wouldn't say Nalia's name. Not even now. Hope for the best? Plan for the worst? Solon asked. 10 of our best men, extra horses for all of us, and go down the coast road instead of the main road? No, Regnus said. If they've set one ambush, they'll have set two. We might as well make them play their gambit on open ground. Yes, sir. Solon only wished he knew who the other players were. You still write letters to that Kaede woman? Solon nodded, but his body went rigid. His chest felt hollow. Of course the commander would know. A letter sent every week, and never a one received. Well, if you don't get a letter after this one, at least you'll know it's not because yours are boring. Regnus clapped a hand on Solon's shoulder. Solon couldn't help but smile ruefully. He didn't know how Regnus did it, but somehow, in his company, it was as easy to face heartbreak as it was to face death. Mama Kay sat on the balcony of an estate that had no business being where it was. Against all tradition and sanity, Roth Grimson's opulent estate had been built in the middle of the Warrens. She didn't like Roth, and never had, but she met few people in her work that she did like. The fact was, she had to deal with Roth because she couldn't afford to ignore him. He was one of the Sakage's rising stars. Not only was he intelligent, but everything he touched seemed to turn to gold. After the Guild Wars, he had emerged as the guild head of the Red Bashers and had promptly taken over half of the Warrens. Of course, the Sakage had stepped in, only beginning with Durzo's assassination of Corbin Fishhill, but it had taken years to get things truly settled. There had been, of course, curiosity among the Nine at how Roth had managed his guild so well that they'd claimed so much territory. And Roth obviously hadn't liked her questions, but he'd accepted them. A word from her, and he'd never be on the Nine. Another word, and he'd be dead. He was smart enough to know that. Roth was in his late 20s, a tall, formidable young man who carried himself like a prince among dogs. Close-set blue eyes, dark hair, a penchant for fine clothing, today he wore a gray tunic decorated with the Plangen knotwork that was just coming into fashion, matching breeches and high boots worked in silver. He wore his black hair lightly oiled, a wavy lock sometimes drooping into his eyes. If you ever tire of working for our Master of Coin, you'd do well in one of my brothels. The men would adore you. She threw that out just to see how he'd take it. He laughed. I'll keep that in mind. With a wave, he signaled the servants to bring their breakfast. Their little table graced the edge of the balcony, and they sat beside each other. Apparently, Roth wanted her to admire his estate. Probably he was hoping she'd ask him why he'd built here. She didn't want to give him the satisfaction. Besides, she'd already looked into it. The reasons were good enough, she knew. He had some waterfront, which would allow him to do some smuggling, though the dock was too small for high profitability and royal attention. He'd also been able to purchase the land for a pittance, though he'd had to hire so many bashers during the construction, he'd lost the savings. When the poor had been displaced, both the honest and the thieves among them had been eager to steal whatever they could from the fool who would build a manse on their side of the river. The bashers had probably beaten hundreds. Mama Kay knew that they killed at least half a dozen. It was death to be found on Grimson's grounds without permission. The walls were high, lined with crushed glass and metal spikes that stood as pointed shadows in the dawn light. Bashers manned those walls, men who were both efficient and enjoyed their work. None of the locals tried to intrude any more. The amateurs had either already tried and paid the price, or knew of others who had. The professionals knew they could cross Vanden Bridge and find easier pickings. His gardens were beautiful, if given to flowers and plants that kept low to the ground, so that his archers didn't have their killing angles obscured. The splashes of vermilion, green, yellow, and orange of his gardens were a stark contrast against the grays and dingy browns of the Warrens. The servants brought the first course, halved blood oranges with a caramelized sugar crust. Roth opened with a comment on the weather. Not a particularly inspired choice, but Mama Kay didn't expect more. He moved on to commenting on his gardens as the servants brought hot sweetbread. He had the newly rich's irritating propensity for revealing how much things had cost. He should have known that she would be able to tell from the quality of the service and the meal exactly how much he was spending on this estate of his. When would he get to the point? So, there's going to be an opening on the nine, Roth said, abruptly done. He should have divulged an amusing anecdote from his work and used that to lead here. Mama Kay was starting to doubt this one. Yes, she said. She let it sit. She wasn't going to make this easy. The sun was just rising above the horizon, and the sky was turning a glorious orange. It was going to be a scorching day. Even at this hour, she barely needed the shawl around her shoulders. I've been working with Phineas Saratson for 6 years. I know the job better than anyone. You've been working for the Tremeteer, not with him. His eyes flashed, but he said nothing. A dangerous temper, then. Master Grimson didn't like to be corrected. I think your spies must not be smart enough to have seen the amount of work I do versus what that old man does. She lifted an eyebrow. Spies? Everyone knows you have spies everywhere. Well, everyone knows. It must be so, then. Oh, I see, Roth said. It's one of those things everyone knows, but I'm not supposed to mention because it's rude. There are people within this organization with whom it is dangerous to be rude, boy. If you're asking for my vote, you'd do well to make a friend of me. He motioned to the servants, who took their plates and replaced them with cuts of spiced meats and a lightly broiled egg dish with cheese. I'm not asking, he said quietly. Mama Kay finished her eggs and began on the braised meat. Delightful. The man must have brought a chef from Gandu. She ate and looked at the lightening sky, the sun rising slowly over the great iron gate to Grimson's estate. If he took that comment back, she'd let him live. I don't know how you have such influence on the Nine, but I know I need your vote, and I will have it, Roth said. I will take your vote, or I will take your niece. The meat that a moment ago had seemed so delightfully spiced, that seemed to melt in Mama Kay's mouth, suddenly tasted like a mouthful of sand. Pretty girl, isn't she? Adorable little braids. It's so sad about her mother dying, but wonderful that she had a rich aunt to find her a place to live, and in the castle itself, no less. Still, a rich old whore ought to have done better than have her niece raised by a serving woman. She was frozen. How did he find out? The ledgers. Her ledgers were done all in code, but Phineas Saratson was the Sakage's master of coin. He had access to more financial records than the next 5 people in the kingdom combined. Roth must have followed the records and found payments made to a serving woman in the castle. She was a frightened woman, a single threat from Roth, and she'd have folded. Roth stood, his plate already empty. "No, do sit. Finish your breakfast." She did, mechanically, using the time to think. Could she spirit the girl away? She couldn't use Durzo for this, but he wasn't the only wet boy she knew. "I'm a cruel man, Guinevere. Taking a life is..." Roth shivered with remembered ecstasy. "Better. Better than any of the pleasures you sell. But I control my appetites. And that's what makes us human rather than slaves, isn't it?" He was pulling on a thick leather glove. The portcullis of his gate was rising as he spoke. Outside, Mama Kay saw dozens of ragged peasants gathered. Obviously, this was a daily ritual. Below, four servants were carrying a table laden with food into the garden. They set it down and walked back inside. "These wretches are slaves to their appetites. Slaves, not men." The starving peasants behind pushed forward, and those in front were pushed aside. They looked at the spiked portcullis above them, and then at Roth and Mama Kay. But their eyes were mostly on the food. They looked like animals, hunger driving them wild. A young woman made a break for it. She sprinted forward. After she had only taken a few steps, others followed her. There were old men and young, women, children. The only thing they seemed to have in common was desperation. But Mama Kay couldn't see the reason for their frenzy. They reached the food and tore into it, stuffing pockets full of sausages, stuffing their mouths full of delicacies so rich they'd probably be sick later. A servant handed an arbalast to Roth. It was already drawn and loaded. "What are you doing?" Mama Kay asked. The peasants saw him and scattered. "I kill by a very simple pattern," Roth said, lifting the weapon. He pressed the trigger plate, and a young man dropped with a bolt in his spine. Roth set the point of the arbalast down, but instead of cranking the winch to draw back the string, he grabbed the string with his glove and drew it back by hand. For the barest moment, black, tattoo-like markings rose up as if from beneath the surface of his skin and writhed with power. It was impossible. He shot again, and the young woman who had been the first to run for the table fell gracelessly. "I feed my little herd every day. The first week of the month, I kill on the first day. The second week, the second day." He paused as the arbalast drew level again. He shot, and another woman dropped as a bolt blew through her head. And so on. "But I never kill more than four." Most of the peasants were gone now, except for one old man moving at a crawl toward the gate that was still 30 paces distant. The bolt clipped the old man's knee. He fell with a scream and started crawling. The slaves never figure it out. They're ruled by their bellies, not their brains. Roth waited until the old man reached the gate, missed a shot, then tried again, killing him. "See that one?" Mama Kay saw a peasant come in through the portcullis. All the others had scattered. "He's my favorite," Roth said. "He figured out the pattern." The man walked inside, unafraid, nodded to Roth, and then went to the table and started to eat without haste. Of course, He could tell the others and save a few lives, but then I might change the pattern, and he'd lose his edge. He's a survivor, Guinevere. Survivors are willing to make sacrifices. Roth handed the arbalast and the glove to a servant, and regarded Mama Kay. So, the question is, are you a survivor? I've survived more than you'll ever know. You have your vote. She'd kill him later. There was no showing weakness now, no matter how she felt. He was an animal, and he would sense her fear. Oh, I want more than your vote. I want Durzo Blint. I want the silver Kakari. I want much more. And I'll get it. With your help. He smiled. How'd you like the braised peasant? She shook her head, distracted, looking blandly at her empty plate. Then she froze. In the garden, servants were collecting the bodies and bringing them inside. You did say pheasant, she said. Roth just smiled.